The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Monday evening's action in Ballinrobe. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line once again to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Hi Mark, how are you doing?
I'm not bad, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, yeah.
What do you make of the card this evening, Andy?
No, it's all right. It's not a great fair. There's probably two bets on the card that I'm interested in, but the rest of it, probably safely confined to the back of the memory bank, I would imagine, by the end of the night.
Okay, fair enough. We did have a bit of a more memorable card in Ireland yesterday. It was obviously Irish 1000 Guineas Day. Mm. What did you make of Marvellous winning that?
Yeah, a bit of a shock, really. No great surprise in some respects, though, because Aidan O'Brien often pulls a rabbit out of the hat in those kind of races, doesn't he, when he's got three or four entered and he basically chucks, you know, lots of darts at the board and he hit the bullseye. Obviously, the ground was soft. It didn't play into the strengths of Lightning Thunder. To be fair, I thought ran brilliantly. I thought she was the best filly in the race, to be honest. She travelled well, took the running up, just up the hill on that ground, probably just as far as she wants to go. But I think if these two met on a more conventional day, i.e., you know, like Ascot, let's say, in the coronation, I'd definitely back the second to turn the form around. But it was Marvellous's day. She obviously blossomed since that first run at Leopardstown, which is a bit disappointing. And, her season and her career is on track.
Yeah, another success for Ryan Moore. He's riding well at the moment. Noble Mission as well is also in form. Won the Group 1 Tattersalls Gold Cup in eye-catching fashion.
He did, didn't he? Yeah, as I sort of predicted yesterday, it was... It was his to lose, but he definitely had everything in his favour, whereas Magician didn't. It was no great surprise to me that the betting flip-flopped. He could have got sort of 5-2, 2-1 Noble Mission in the morning, and Magician, having started at 4-6, 4-7, ended up going even money each of two. I think that was pretty much the vibes that we were looking at before Noble Mission. He was fit after that good two runs. He was a front runner, and the ground was in his favour. He's very tough from the front, as we've seen, and it just wasn't Magician's day. He's much better on a better surface, and I'm sure he'll bounce back.
Anything else stand out to you at the Curragh over the weekend?
I thought a horse called Tonto Makute is a horse to keep on the right side on Saturday. Really, really impressive. I mean, speed figure for a mile and a quarter, three-year-old handicap was phenomenal. He's the best on the card. He's better than Kingman, actually. So I'd say he's going to take high-ranking handicaps before perhaps going into group company. And I was really impressed with Great Minds on Sunday, yesterday. He was drawn stall one. I took him on. I went for the stand side draw. And in fact, the stand side was the place to be. You know, the second, third, fourth, fifth were drawn 18, 27, 17 and 21 respectively. And yet Great Minds managed to win from stall one. Now, he only won by 3/4 of a length, but he's a million miles better than that. If he would have been drawn at the stand side rally, he would have won by 5 lengths. So I think a handicap will still keep him under 95. He's definitely a group horse, and I still think he's another good bet in a handicap. So Great Minds and Tonto Makute are the two I'd take out of the weekend, other than the big guns.
Okay, a couple of them to keep an eye out for in the future then. Let's move on to Monday evening's action. Ballinrobe hosts a 7-race card. There's 5 races on the flat, and then 2 more flat races, but under National Hunt rules, 2 bumpers to close the card. The 6 o'clock is the first race, and only 3 of them in the lineup for this fillies race, and it's for fillies, 3-year-old fillies that are EBF eligible and have not been placed first, second or third in a listed or group race. And Dance With Another is the 6-5 favourite, 5-4 for Lanyard, and Upper Silesian is 9-2. How do you see the 6 o'clock going?
Well, they've all been slightly disappointed, Mark, this season so far. Lanyard was a sent-off joint favourite the other day at Killarney. He had every chance and could only manage third in a 4-runner race. Dance With Another, I thought, probably came out of her race with a bit more credit than her two main rivals, with a good running, a very solid and strongly run handicap won by Odessia. And Upper Silesian, she hasn't looked as though she's really gone forward much from last season, when she was a little bit frustrating. She was well put in a place by Ebenea first time out, and I thought was slightly down below par at Gowran in a maiden won by Nurari and Sunset. So process elimination leads me towards Aidan O'Brien's filly, down to another. In a small field, there's probably no better tactical judge for me than Joseph O'Brien, and he's made the running with this filly before. He tried to do it for a second time up at Cork. It didn't really come off, but the ground was bottomless that day, and I wouldn't really hold that against her. She definitely wants a slightly better surface than she's been running on of late. Tonight, Ballin Road won't be too bad. You know, yielding to soft, that should be just about OK. She stays quite well. I think she's the sharpest ticket in the shed, but hopefully she might just get the better of the other two, who, because I just haven't been massively enamoured with. So I'm just going to go with my figures. I think that race the other day at Navan was probably the best race of the three. So let's go with Aidan O'Brien's filly.
OK, dance with another then. The selection in the 6 o'clock onto the 6.30, race 2 on the card, and this is a maiden over a mile and 5 furlongs, and Rays Creek heads the betting this morning at 11-10. He had some pretty good efforts at the start of last season, kind of disappointed towards the end of the year, but he's got the Hood back on Andy as well, which looks significant because he has run his better races in the Hood. Do you think Rays Creek is the one to beat?
I think he is, yeah. He's a bit of an iffy character, though, I must admit. That day will live very much in my memory when he got beat at Fairy House. It was the day that I put him up on the podcast. I think I napped him. He was 6-1 in the morning. He went off 5-4. And he somehow managed to get beat, but we didn't realise that he was up against Venus De Milo, who was probably one of the best fillies in Aidan O'Brien's stable. But we didn't realise it until after the race and we'd done the numbers. And you think, wow, how could you possibly bump into a horse of that stature in a maiden? Well, everyone thought that, and the ones that took the short price at the Curragh next time out were in for a bit of a rude awakening, because he ran well below par for some bizarre reason. I don't know what was wrong in him that day. He should have won, really. He was disappointing, which really kind of gets back to what I was saying about him. I just think he's definitely got the ability, but he's not quite as reliable betting proposition at a short price as his form suggests. Even though the Hood's back on, I still think, I wouldn't say he's worth opposing, but being as the shape of the race offers up a bit of each way maggoting thievery, whichever way you want to say it, you know, you could look towards the likes of Synchronicity, who has been running well over hurdles. He was second to Wicklow Brave down in Cork 2 starts ago and got the better of McNicholson, of course, has done nothing but advertise the form since winning next time out at Kilbeggan before going on to the Punchestown Festival and winning. So he's really solid. And the other one is Cadian as well. I'd probably put him up at a price. I think his future might just be on the flat, because he's been slightly disappointing over hurdles. He had a big reputation coming from France, and he's been well fancied in one or two of his hurdle races, but I don't think he's really been handling the ground or staying the trip. That was the case at Kilbeggan last time out when he faded from the last. So maybe a mile 6 on the flat might just be the key to him. And he's 10-1. I'm not saying we should be having a fortune on him, but he's more than likely going to hit the frame, and you know, he's still going to make money if he's played. So I'll just throw up Caddy in each way at a price.
Okay, on to the third race next. It's the 7 o'clock, and this is a handicap for 4-year-olds and overrated, 47-17. It's over a mile and 5 furlongs, and quite an open handicap in the betting with Seismic, the 3-1 market leader. Hurricane Jojo 4-1. There's been money for Messini's Trap, who's 7-1 into 9-2. It's 9-1 for Musawama. Algonem is 10s and 12-1 or bigger prices. The rest, Seismic kind of been nibbled at the top of the betting. Hurricane Jojo slightly on the drift, and Messini's Trap very popular. So what do you make of this race, Andy?
Yeah, I think Seismic deserves to be favourite here. He got the better of Hurricane Jojo the other day down in Clonmel. I thought he was a good winner on merit, and the horse that finished second won for the podcast the other night, Rushing Dove. So four miles, you can't fault this horse. He stays really well. He's got conditions in his favour, i.e. you know, softish ground, which is what he wants. And, you know, feasibly, still not particularly badly handicapped. Certainly think he started off a workable mark of 47. And now the Gordon Elliott's team are a little bit more in better form than they were, say, a month ago. There's lots of positives to be drawn from his case tonight, so he's a positive. And I can certainly see why punters are looking to get with Messini's Trap. He's got a really good record here around Ballin Robe, although he hasn't won here on the flat. He's actually run well and won over hurdles here before, so he's an interesting runner. I'll also throw another one into the mix as well. That's the top one here, Musawama, who has got some good form back in the UK when he had some good form on the old weather. He's been in reasonably good nick over fences of late. He tried to make all the running the other night down in Killarney, and he went a real good Herculean gallop, but because he went so quick, he faded late on, which wasn't a great surprise, but he generated such a fast speed figure that I think that race in Killarney will start working out well. I certainly think Hospital, the winner of that race, is one to keep an eye on. And this sharp track should suit Musawama. I'll be amazed if he doesn't make the run in the hands of Rory Cleary. And you never know, he just could nick it off the front here. He certainly can keep a good gallop for at least 2 miles, and this is obviously a little bit shorter than that, being a 1 mile five race. So the way I'd play this race, I'd have to have a few cut on Seismic, but I'd also have to play the top one at a price as well. 9-1 for Musawama makes a bit of appeal.
Okay, on to the fourth race next. This is the 7:30, and this is a median auction maiden over the extended mile and 1 furlong. And intense debate is 6-4 favourite, 13-8 for Zerawi, Nancy Rose 7-2, 10-1 for Our Max, and 20-1 or bigger prices at the rest. So the market siding with those that have had runs, Andy. How would you play this race?
I think the front two in the market are vulnerable here. Intense debate was below par first time out at Leopardstown. Now you could argue that the ground was a bit heavy for that Jim Bolger filly, and you know, if you look at that run last year when she ended a two-year-old campaign with a good run behind Crystal Fashion, that would give her every chance of taking this race. But I've still got a slight question mark hanging over her, particularly if the ground gets a little bit softer. Zerawi, well, you know, she had the visor on first time out, which always leads me to believe that there's an issue with her. You know, she ran okay behind Plamas, but the race has worked out terribly. No placed horse or winner out of six runs out of the race, so. Like I say, I'm not massively convinced with her. So we're only really left with Nancy Rose here to get stuck into. Now, she's got a little bit to find on the official figures, but if she runs anywhere near the level that she showed last time out behind Backdrop, she's certainly got a chance here. You know, Backdrop's a useful filly trying by Dermot Weld. And, you know, this horse only narrowly failed to get the verdict that day. Good run the time before behind Afternoon Sunlight, in a race which has thrown up multiple winners, including the winner who's gone on to win a Group 3. So she's been in quite deep, this filly. So her form figures probably don't really tell the whole story. And at 7-2, 4-1 this morning, I wish there was an extra runner because she'd be in a massive each-way bet. I'd still advise an each-way bet here because I think she'll definitely split the front two at the worst. And on my calculation, she's got a good chance of nicking it. So Nancy Rose in the 7:30.
Okay, on to the final race on the flat this afternoon, and that's the 8 o'clock, and this is a handicap over the extended mile and 1 furlong, and Colony Empress is 3-1, The Ring is King 9-2 with To Choose, Granny on Fire is 11-2, 6-1 for Diamond Days, Connaught Council is 13-2, 9-1 for Queen of Alba, and 16-1 for Hull Lot of Rosie. Who'd you like for the 8 o'clock, Andy?
I'm going to make Colony Empress my nap of the night here. I think she's quite a decent price. I was expecting to be a bit shorter than this in the market because it's littered with untrustworthy performers, whereas I do think this mare is very, very much on the upgrade and still going the right way. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that run the other day down in Killarney. It was against a good bunch of handicappers who went into the race in good form, including the winner, Truly Delightful, who won for the podcast that evening. She didn't really get the best of runs up the inside rail in the hands of Wade Lord, and Killarney's a funny track sometimes. If you get stuck on that inside rail, it's difficult to get off of it, and you definitely want to be coming late, fast and wide, and that's what the winner did. But she certainly did enough to suggest that she's still in good form. And I just thought it was that she got caught out over the trip more than anything else. That was a mile, and prior to that, she won very readily down in Clonmel, staying on strongly. That was over a mile and a quarter on soft ground. So she's back up to a mile and a quarter tonight. The track will suit her. She's drawn in stall one as well, which means Wayne Norton will get the luxury of going around the inside. He doesn't have to move from his lane. And I think she's a nice price here tonight. I think she should be a lot shorter. So Killarney Empress gets a nap vote in the 8 o'clock.
Okay, nap selection for Andy then. Killarney Empress in the 8 o'clock. We're under national hunt rules for the final two races. We've got two bumpers to come. And the first of them is the 8:30. It's a mare's bumper over 2 miles and 1 furlong. And Run Fly Run is the 6-4 favourite. 7-2 for Belle of the Ball. Royal Leader 11-2. 8-1 for Belle Walks Day. Pinema is 10-1 and 12-1 or bigger prices the rest. So an interesting newcomer from the Willie Mullins camp. She's well related to a few winners that we've seen already. Unraced, though, that's, I suppose, the question mark. Belle of the Ball has some decent form in the book, Andy. What do you make of this race? How do you play the 8:30?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I'll keep these last two races quite short and sweet. I mean, everyone knows that if Willie Mullins has got one in a bumper, then, you know, you've always got to have a second look at it and watch the market. She's obviously named after Hurricane Fly, or you'd like to think so. Run, Fly, Run. That certainly indicates that. She can run as fast as Stab a Companion, then she's going to take a bit of beating here. But I'll go with the form of Belle of the Ball, who ran respectively at Punchestown one of those bumpers at the festival. It's probably behind one of the most impressive winners of the whole 5 days at the festival. That was Forgotten Rules, the Dermot Weld horse, who absolutely trotted up and left us all thinking that he could be a very smart horse, either over hurdles next year, or maybe on the flat if Dermot Weld decides to go down that route. Bella the Bull that day was stuck out on the wing a little bit. She kind of got trapped wide, and most of the first two or three home all went around the inside. So it probably wasn't a bad run in the light of day. Prior to that, she'd run well at Wexford, similar track to this. You know, if you can get sort of 7-2, 4-1 for her each way, Bella the Ball looks the obvious way to play the 8:30.
Okay, and the final race this evening is the 9 o'clock. We finish with another bumper. This one's over 2 miles and 1 furlong as well. And Fort Smith and Morning Wing are the 9-4 joint favourites. Clunacool is 5-1. Way Wild West has been backed 7s into 5s at the time of recording. 8-1 for Catcher Again, and then 14-1 or bigger prices. The rest, who'd you like for the lucky last, Andy?
I'll go with Morning Wing here. Desi Hughes is 5-year gelding. He's had a couple of runs, one over hurdles first time up, but he shaped really encouragingly behind authorisation. Back in third was Torsef, who's still a maiden, but has been running in some good hurdles thereafter. He went to third his next time out. He was quite strongly fancied, but he just couldn't cope with the ground that day. It was absolutely bottomless. You get heavier, then you get really thirdless heavy in the middle of winter. It's very similar to Limerick, and he just couldn't pick his feet out of the ground. I know it's going to be soft here tonight, but it's going to be summer soft rather than winter soft. And I think that'll make a huge difference to this horse. He's got quite a nice action. And he just looks a nice horse. That first run, I hope, is the kind of like the way we can rate Morning Wing rather than his second run. And if he does run up to that first level, then hopefully he should be good enough to win this. Fort Smith has got a very similar profile. He's already had 5 chances and he's becoming a little bit frustrating. I'd certainly respect the money for Way Wild West, easy for me to say. Because I do rate his train. I think Sean Burns are a very good train, particularly in bumpers. So that one could be quite dangerous. But Morning Wing, I think, sets a good standard here. And hopefully that could be good enough to round us off in the last race.
OK, Morning Wing in the lucky last. Then let's just have a quick summary, Andy, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, Dance with Another gets the vote in a tricky-looking Phillies conditions race in the first. 6:30. I just wouldn't trust the favourite at a short price, that's all I'll say, Race Creek. He might well win, but 11-10... You know, you're not getting a fat on that, and he's disappointed more often than not. So I'll go with Caddy in each way. At 7 o'clock, tricky old handicap, but 2 against the field will be Seismic and the top one with Sawama. 7:30, I don't really like the front two in the market at short price, so I'm going to put up Nancy Rose as the logical choice against them. In the 8 o'clock, my nap goes in the shape of Kanorni Empress. I think she's an informed mare worth staying on the right side of. In the 8:30, obviously all eyes on the Willie Mullins horse run, fly, run, but I'll go with Bell of the Ball each way. And in the final race, Morning Wing sets a good standard, and hopefully that standard's good enough in that 9 o'clock.
OK, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections, and enjoy Ballinrobe this evening.
Will do. Cheers, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.